This is the FitCast. Welcome to the very first edition of the FitCast. My name's Kevin. I'm joined this week by Kaiser and E. Martin. Say hello, guys.
Hey, hello.
Hey, is that E. Martin or is that going to be Eric? I don't know what we're supposed to call you.
You can be Eric, can't you?
I'll be Eric this week.
That sounds okay. Good.
Next week it'll be Erica.
Indeed.
Or Ellie.
That too.
Well, guys, let's get it going. First off, let's like to hear a little bit about both of you guys. Kaiser, do you want to start it off?
Yeah, I not a lot to say. I'm a businessman. I'm the older of the group. I'm 40. I've been working out since I was in college, have a lifelong history of chronic injuries, multiple surgeries because of it, and keep working out, trying to stay in the shape.
Good That's stuff. It. Good stuff. How about you, Eric?
I was a pretty heavy lifter, like kind of Danny King style, and started to get a little tired of it for whatever reason and got into triathlon, and that's my thing now. I think this week's a little biased because we have two cyclists here with me and Kaiser, but other than that.
Well, for everyone out there, Danny is D King on the JP Fitness forums, and that's really what the FitCast is about, inspired by the JP Fitness forums, and let's get to what we're going to be talking about this week, and that is the summit, the 2006 JP Fitness Summit.
What do you guys coming off the high from that?
Still, yeah. I mean, it was only a week ago, guys. Only a week ago. Yeah. Unfortunately, everyone got home safely, I figure.
I think everyone came off safely. We went and climbed a 1,000-foot mountain. You'll hear about that later, and nobody fell off, although I almost did. Everybody made it up. Nobody had a heart attack. So
really? I look forward to that story. All right. Well, I guess we'll start it off. The first presentation we got on Friday for all the people that showed up early was on Motion DNA. The presenter was Zig Ziglar out of Arizona.
And I want to make it clear, there is a Zig Ziglar who's very famous, who's a motivational speaker in the business world. This is not the same guy. This Zig Ziglar looks a lot like the singer Seal.
Minus the burns
and Heidi Klum.
Damn. Hey, he's still got it going pretty good.
Definitely.
Well, anyway, Zig's program that he created.
Zig has a pretty interesting product, Kevin, and I guess he's been using this product now for a number of years, under a decade. And it is used and sold to major league teams, major league baseball, professional football teams in the NFL. One of his partners actually happens to be the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, and that would be Anquan Boldin. What he does is he hooks up sensors to people and measures their movement patterns. So he will get, for example, a major league pitcher and hook up sensors, and the sensors are read by a magnetic reader, and the motion is transferred into X, Y, and Z coordinates on a computer. Well, they can see how efficient that pitcher is at throwing the ball compared to what they've got as a theoretical perfect motion. And by doing that, and they've been doing this for over 10 years, what they've come up with is a predictive model that will end up showing whether or not people will suffer injury. And the neat thing about that was he, for example, went to Anquan Boldin. This is prior to Boldin being involved as a business partner of his. And they measured his movement pattern and found that he was favoring one leg over the other based upon an old ankle injury that he had. I think the ankle injury was either in college at Florida State or prior to that in high school. They had him work on correcting that deficiency. He became very, very strong, worked his way through, no injuries. Unfortunately, he went back to his NFL trainers. They got him off of that regimen and put him on the normal regimen. They went and tested him again and said, you know what, you're getting that deficiency back and you're going to end up getting injured. Anquan said, hey, I'm going to follow my trainers. Lo and behold, what happened? 2 weeks later, he pops a hamstring. This was back in 2004. At that point in time, I think he was sold on this particular technology. And I think you probably know he's worked with some famous athletes. Kevin, if you want to expand on that.
Yeah, I mean, he's also worked with Tiger Woods, and he was kind of quiet to talk about that. But I read it was in his pamphlet that he handed out in the article that we all got. So, I mean, he's really worked with some of the top athletes. Like you said, he's worked with Mark Vestergen, who's coming out and testing all the rookies for Major League Baseball. And he's really, I believe he said he was testing almost 100% of all the rookies now for Major League Baseball. Is that correct?
I believe they said Major League Baseball is trying to get that done, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
if I can throw in something there, too, I know that he said that it was either Zig or Don mentioned that he's training a good portion of the guys at the NFL Combine as well.
Oh, yeah.
Using that software as well, so.
I mean, that's big now. The NFL Combine is huge. You can see that it's almost pathetic how much ESPN covers just the Combine. I mean, they spend a week going through the times and the tests that they take. It's becoming much larger than it probably should be.
Well, and I think they had the most athletes that they prepped for that Combine, and that's big business, by the way. These athletes will prep for literally months preparing to try to get better times at the Combine.
Exactly.
And increase their draft stock. But he is one of the two major companies that does that, and he is the larger of the two. In other words, he has the lion's share of NFL prospects who want to improve their standing. So that is a testament to how impressive his product is and how much people really rely on this kind of movement pattern. One of the things that I wanted to mention was that, and we're going to be talking about the main speaker at the event, Bill Hartman, but Bill Hartman essentially does very similar analyses of movement patterns and deficiencies and trying to prevent injury or helping people come back from injury. And this program is essentially what Bill Hartman does, but on a technological base at a much higher speed. I went to Bill Hartman and joked with him.
I don't know about higher speed.
Well, Hartman is pretty impressive.
Quick.
Yeah, that's true. But I went to Hartman and I said, well, what do you think of Bill in a Box, which is what I called this motion DNA system. And Bill Hartman said, you know, this is pretty impressive. I can see that there's a lot of potential for this. And for somebody of his caliber to kind of say, yeah, this is good, and not think, well, you know, this is going to take my bread and butter away. This is what I do. Not seeing it as a competing mechanism, but as a mechanism to improve what people like him and other kinesiologists and movement specialists do, I think is a pretty good testament to how impressive this program is going to be in the future.
Yeah, I mean, they really did a great presentation. I mean, I got there. When we got there, we literally threw our bags down and we showed up to the presentation. And to be honest, my jaw kind of dropped for at least half the presentation. It was just some amazing stuff. And just setting up the two models that they have, the 4 and 8 sensor models that they have, we got a demonstration of the 4 sensor and also a 2 sensor that JP himself gave a little test run. And it was really great. And it was nice to have Bill Hartman there as well, throwing out a couple questions, making sure Zig was on top of his game, and he was, and he really was.
Yeah, you definitely got that sense. I thought, yeah, the last thing I think, and I don't remember if I mentioned it, is that they want to take this particular technology out in the mainstream. Mm-hmm. They want to train people to be able to use it, trainers who can use it to analyze their athletes, whether they're in high school or in college or just weekend warriors like me, looking to prevent the next big, you know, joint blowout. And that's kind of where he's going, I think.
Yeah, I thought that was great that you can just rent out the equipment for a couple of years, take a class, and technically be certified to use the equipment. And it looked like it wasn't too hard. You just had to know where to put the sensors and how to use the included software. And the software looked sort of intimidating, but with the training, it looks like any one of us that were interested in it could take advantage of it.
I think that was one of his stated goals, is that I know all of us, when we talk about Bill Hartman, will be kind of ravishing praise on this guy. But, you know, the Hartmans of the world are few and far between. I certainly wish he lived where I live here in Chicago, but he doesn't. So we don't have access to him all the time. And Ziegler's comment was that we want to be able to take that expertise and try to transfer it over into a program so that it's foolproof and really anybody with a minimum of knowledge in kinesiology can access this and allow the program to do the analyses. And he seemed pretty confident in how well that analysis would be done by the program. It almost sounds bizarre to hear that a machine can do it, but it was pretty impressive and pretty convincing too.
Yeah, sometimes one of the points that he did make was to really let the technology help you and not be afraid of it, in a sense. And it really shows that in the next couple of years, motion DNA is going to develop to an even higher level with more sensors and more accurate results, to the point where you can really get any reading that you need for motion. And it just looks like it has so much potential, and it's already at such a high level.
Yep. And the interesting thing is they are a public company. They're traded over the counter, and I think they're trying to move up in stock exchanges, is what Zig was saying. But I don't know if you want to give the listeners the website so they can go on. And they've got TV shows on the website where they explain in detail how all their product works. And the TV shows are pretty impressive, and you can get live streaming video right on your computer and find out exactly what they are selling.
Well, for the Motion DNA site, it's simply motiondnacorp.com. I'll also have links for the website on the Fitcast website, which I'll get into a little bit later, how we have a temporary website, but we'll leave that for later on in the show. Was there anything else you guys wanted to add?
Nope.
I'm good.
Sounds good. All right, the next topic this week. For those of us that showed up on Friday, Bill Hartman offered his services for a donation to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. If you wanted to donate, you could. It was just optional. But if otherwise you'd like to donate to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, you can send donations to Bill Hartman himself at his P.O. Box. It's PR Performance, P.O. Box 428, Westfield, Indiana, 46074. Also, I'm going to have the address on the website, so you can check it out there as well. If you'd like to send donations, it'd be greatly appreciated.
And when you offer services like that, just so people don't get the wrong idea what services were being offered, Bill Hartman is one of the top kinesiologists in the country. He is a performance coach. He is also an ART specialist, and ART is active release therapy. They do soft tissue manipulation, people who have certain limitations, injuries. They're kind of almost an offshoot of chiropractic, but they are focused more on performance. And so what he did was he gave out essentially sessions on deficiencies everybody had problems with, either their knees or their back or their shoulders. And he worked on people for 15 to 20 minutes, and he did it for free. And what he said was that if you wanted to, you could make a donation to this particular group. And we had a pretty good response, I thought. Right, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, we got $823, and he was greatly appreciative for that. As if you looked on the forums, he actually made a post about it, and it was really, really a great thing to donate that much money. I was surprised myself when I saw the number. But otherwise, Bill talked about muscle imbalance principles. He had a whole presentation on Friday. And Eric, would you like to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to kind of hit on what Kaiser was talking about, the muscle imbalance principles. I'll take myself for example. Bill sat me down. I told him that I'm a cyclist, and you know, here's some of the problems that I envision myself having. The main principle that Bill was preaching was that you want to be ensuring that you're training a movement and not necessarily a muscle. Taking me, for example, as a cyclist with a cycling motion, I'm limiting my range of motion and continually pumping my hip back and forth and back and forth, my hip flexor, that is. And eventually what I'm doing is locking that muscle into a short position. And at the same time, with that shortened muscle, tilting my pelvis forward and extending my hamstring. So my hamstring is going to be locked long. Now, the pain or limitation that I feel there is feels like a tight hamstring, tight is in quotes. In actuality, what I've done is stretch that hamstring to the point where it's basically inhibited. So what Bill did is went through and gave me some specific movements and stretches that I can work on in order to get that hip flexor to loosen up a little bit, which should, in the end, correct my inhibited hamstring muscle.
Sounds like it was worthwhile.
Definitely. Definitely worth a donation.
How about you, Kaiser?
Well, my example is pretty much the same because I'm a cyclist just like Eric. And what I wanted to say was that Bill came in and he explained, essentially he gave us a couple of principles. One was the kinetic chain principle, which essentially says in layman's terms that you look at the entire body as a linked system. In other words, you may have a problem in the shoulder, but believe it or not, that shoulder problem may be linked to a tight hamstring. Or you may have a problem with a lower back issue, and that may be linked to something in your ankle. And the example that he gave was, you know, the knee bone's connected to the shin bone song. And he said that is a very true song. People don't realize just how true it is. So the example that he gave for me was the exact same one as Eric. I'm a rider. My legs are generally up at a 90-degree angle that results in tight hip flexors. But what happens with that is I get a certain type of tilt to my pelvis. It's called an anterior tilt. I didn't realize I was doing it. All I knew is I started getting lower back pain. And what was happening when I was doing overhead presses or other items that I probably shouldn't have been doing given the limitations that I have is that back arch was coming into play, and actually my back is starting to hurt me. Bill said, well, this is the reason, and the reason isn't because your hamstrings are tight, which is the exact same analysis that Eric got. It felt like my hamstrings were tight. That wasn't the cause. The cause was that my quads were tight. And then I had to work on the quads and also work on getting the glutes, the posterior muscles firing at the right time. So I guess the take-home message that I got was that you may think that there's a particular issue that feels bad. And in my case, it was a lower back, and I thought it was attributed to hamstrings. Stretching the hamstrings actually made it worse. As Eric mentioned, what happens is it was the reverse. My quads were actually tight. And so I need to work on particular exercises that work on loosening up the quads. And so the take-home message from Bill was that it's not always evident what is creating a problem or what deficiency is causing a problem. You really need an expert like him to do that. And then I'll let you talk about it, Kevin. But what he did is he gave up corrective exercise principles that essentially looked at the body as a whole. And he showed us a number of muscle groups that ran sometimes all the way from the heel up to the back of the head and all the way from the shoulder in the front, all the way through the back of the hamstring. I would have never thought that the shoulder was related to the hamstring, but it is. There's a girdle group of muscles that he talked about, and you have to treat it as a unit because you don't fire individual muscles and they don't work in isolation. They work in harmony. So that was his entire weekend, was testing how our muscles work together in harmony, where they don't work together, and exactly how you go about when they're not working together very well. How do you go about correcting that?
The thing that I thought was amazing about Bill was his ability to watch you perform one movement. For example, I think we're going to get into this here in a second, is the tests that he had us perform, and just having us perform one simple movement like an overhead squat or a push-up or a plank, and being able to identify specific things that are wrong with you just on instantaneous look, going, nope, there, you know, that's wrong, your hips are tilting forward, here's what you need to work on. And it was just pretty amazing how quick and easy he was able to pick those things out of anybody's one movement.
Even more than that, I was impressed with he could have you just stand there in front of him. Looking at you and say, do you have an issue with this? And you look at him and think, are you psychic? How do you know that I've got an issue with my knee or my hip when I'm literally standing in front of you and not moving? But he's able to look at the body and see, he knows where the deficiency is, where you're favoring it. And his eye is so well trained that he's able to see exactly where that deficiency is without even moving or touching you, which I thought was pretty amazing.
Okay, then. Before we go on to the tests, I think it's important to bring up, does Bill look like Arnold? And in the sense, is he like the Terminator, the way he analyzes our bodies?
I'm afraid of Bill hurting me, so I'm not going to say anything. He didn't like the relationship to Arnold. So. I think he made it a point to try to say
Giambi and taking the fifth.
Giambi. Oh. Let's not get started with steroids in baseball, but going off topic a little bit. Otherwise, let's start with the 12 tests. Or should I say some of them were torture tests, I thought. How'd you guys score on those overall before we go into them?
I didn't do real well. I probably did worse than you guys did. I got a for the audience, it was scored on a scale of 0 to 30, 30 being the best. If you were 30, you were extremely flexible and not prone to repetitive overuse injuries based upon mechanics failures. In other words, you've got a poor movement pattern and you emphasize it and you get hurt. I ended up having a 20, which as I met with Hartman in one of the break sessions, he said that is right on the borderline for chronic injury. And I looked at him and laughed and said, you know, Bill, I've had four surgeries based upon chronic injury, so I know exactly what you mean, and you're right.
And I scored an 18 on mine, so I'm not doing a whole lot better than you guys are.
I'm going to disqualify myself. I wasn't able to do two of the exercises. I wasn't able to do the lunges, but without that, I had a total of 14. So,
wow.
Yeah, well, that 6 points I could have had, so... It's not that bad.
You still would have been as bad as me. And Hartman looked at me and said, "You're setting yourself up for injury." And I laughed and said, "You're setting myself up." For those who are listening in the audience, what you can do is, and I'm sure Kevin's going to give you a website, but you can go through and get this DVD on the JP Fitness site. This entire thing has been filmed. There's going to be a booklet that goes along with it, and you will be able to do the testing about, and there's a whole bunch of them, by yourself or with a partner, and do the same analysis that we did and determine what your areas of deficiency are, where you're setting yourself up for injury, and how you can go about trying to prevent that.
And keep in mind, if you think it's a 2 or a 3, it's probably – if you think it's a 3 – Bill's going to say it's a 2. If you think it's a 2, it's really a 1.
And for people in the audience, a 3 was perfect. You were able to do the exercise as prescribed. There was no deficiency. A 2 was you were able to do it somewhat, but it was limited, or you had some issue with not being able to complete it perfectly. A 1 was, and I was at a 1 in a couple exercises, not being able to do it without serious modification or not being able to do it without pain. And then a 0 is not being able to do it at all or having pain even beginning the exercise.
Great explanation right there.
I'm sure some of you guys are confused about the tests that we've been talking about. Basically what Bill went through and did for us is there's a series of 12 different movement tests that he was having us perform, and he gave us specific criteria for which we needed to perform those movements. My example that I'm going to give is a push-up. And the push-up needed to be performed a specific way in order to get the 3 points or the 2 points or the 1 point. The 3-point attempt was having the thumbs at the top of your forehead, even with the middle of your forehead or the top of your forehead, and to do a push-up that way without having any sort of hip floating or back floating. My problem was if I couldn't do it with the thumbs of the forehead, with proper form, what ended up happening is that the second criteria to get 2 points for the test was to move your thumbs down even with your chin into a push-up. I was able to perform that one pretty decently, enough in Bill's eyes to give me 2 points. But what I was doing with the 3-point motion was really arching my back and really shooting my pelvis forward and trying to get up that way. Basically, at that point, Bill went through and prescribed some corrective movements that we could do. Okay, so the corrective strategy that Bill presented to me in order to help work with my deficiency in the push-up were two different varieties of basically push-up modifications. One was a push-up walkout, which if any of you guys have done Mark Verstegen's core performance, you know that move where you stand straight-legged, touch your palms to the floor, and walk in and out with your hands. So walk out to almost a push-up position and then walk yourself back in. The other one was the push-up is called a push-up arm-leg raise, which is basically getting on all fours and trying to lift, you know, your right hand and your right leg without shifting weight and basically was impossible for me, but so we're starting with the push-up walkout and eventually graduating to push-up pluses.
Sounds good, Eric. Do you have to head out?
Indeed. I appreciate you having me on, Kevin.
Oh, thank you very much, Eric. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye, Eric.
And that is Eric for everyone out there. E. Martin on the JP Fitness Forums. Guys, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
For those of you who are wondering what exercises we're talking about that Hartman had us do, the diagnostic exercises were things like getting your feet in line and doing a lunge. There's certain things you can measure by doing that, whether your hips rotate out, whether you're able to stay square, stay erect. He also had us doing things like overhead squats, very basic movements, and movements that a lot of people in the overhead squat case have trouble with. When there's a deficiency in that movement based upon the criteria that he gave us, we would make a note of it, and that would tell us something. And then what he did later after the diagnostic test was said, okay, if you didn't do really well in, let's say, the overhead squat, these are the movements that you need to work on. This is where you're deficient. You may be deficient in hip flexibility. You may be deficient in glute strength, or you may be deficient in hamstring flexibility. And so, therefore, you're going to be working on these corrective actions before you go back to the overhead squat, because the overhead squat, the way you're doing it, is inappropriate if you had gotten a poor score in that. And that is the diagnostics that he had us perform.
That's great. That's some good stuff right there. And feel free, if you want to head over to Bill Hartman's website, I'll have the link for it on the FitCast website, which currently has a temporary site. But again, I'm not going to go into that right now. Other than that, there's also the JP Fitness DVD that will be coming out for the Summit of 06. You can keep a lookout for that on jpfitness.com. Hopefully that is coming out in the next month or so. So again, keep a lookout. In the second part, Bill had us go into the core training essentials, as he called them, which the three of them were the side bridge, the plank, and the trunk flexion. For all three of the tests, you had to hold the poses for 2 minutes straight without losing your form.
And Bill's rule was actually that if you couldn't hold that, those three poses, all three of them, if you were deficient in any one of them, you were not strong enough or didn't have sufficient core strength to be able to train with external weights. And his rule was those unable to pass any one of those strength endurance tests with the core had to limit their external loading, which is any weights you pick up, to less than or equal to 20% of your body weight, which if you think about it, for a 200-pound guy is 40 pounds. It's not very much. And I was frankly surprised at the number of people, especially on the front plank, who were dropping like flies who weren't able to hold it for 2 minutes. That is a pretty shocking test, at least it was to me.
How did you do on that?
I actually did pretty well. I've always done really well on the planks, and that was not an issue for me. We had a little contest going on the front plank, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I did pretty good, and I have to say that's thanks to doing some turbulence training for the last summer or so, that Craig was heavy on that. So
Craig Valentine.
For those of you who don't know what turbulence training is, I'd recommend checking it out. Just turbulencetraining.com. And again, I'll have a link for it on the website. You can check that out. Some of the best programs out there.
And I happen to know that Craig is looking to promote his site, so maybe we can get him on a, you can get him on a future FitCast.
I plan to. I'm in contact with Craig right now, and we're going to see if we can get him to jump on, or at least do a one-on-one interview, because I know for the JP Fitness forums, he is very popular. His programs are very popular. And to be honest, like I have his All Access Pass. Do you?
I definitely do. It is the best fitness value in the industry. You can get, I don't know how many programs are on. There's more than 20, I think.
Oh, yeah. He's adding them all the time.
Sure. And the cost is virtually nothing. It's, it's definitely well under $100. So I think it's well worth it. And you get his personal feedback, too, which is amazing.
Yeah, I think that's the best part is he, even if you're not part of the All Access Pass, he will pretty much reply to your emails within a half an hour, no problem, throughout the day.
Yep. I agree. But we digress. We have to get back to Hartman. We've got so many great experts at JP Fitness that we have. You can't turn your head one way or the other without running into an expert, which is just an amazing testament to the forum itself.
And again, I'm sorry, I must go off topic one more time. Eric Cressy has just joined the forums. So, I mean, pretty much every couple of weeks, someone new's popping up, and it's just getting better and better, and that's really to the testament of JP and all the trainers that are joining.
So can we throw out, can we name drop?
Go for it.
Well, you can throw people out that you remember. We've got Robert Desremedios, who is an amazing strength coach out in California.
Absolutely.
Alan Cosgrove, who is one of the best in the industry. You've got Chad Waterbury, who spoke at last year's summit. Let's see, Lou Schuler, the former editor of both Men's Health and Men's Fitness, the fitness editor. Adam Campbell, who is a former editor at Men's Fitness and was a former editor and is now back at Men's Health magazine.
John K. Williams, who will actually be joining the show starting next week, so keep a lookout for him. He's authored with John Berardi on gourmet nutrition. So,
and you have Berardi as well. So,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
Who are we forgetting? There's so many people out there that lend their name to the forum and their expertise at no cost to us, and I can't remember half of them usually.
Yeah, just go to the site, everyone, and check it out. It's JP Fitness for jpfitness.com. You can click on the link to the forums.
So for the experts we're forgetting, we don't have to mention your name. You know who you are.
And if you want to, we'd love to have you on the show, so you can email me and just go to the forums. You can get a hold of that. But anyways, back on topic. We'll be going over, again, continuing with the core training essentials and what Bill was having us do and pretty much the tests he had us go through. And, I mean, not many people passed all the three of the tests, and that's really telling you something. I don't know if it's to say that not everyone's training the right parts, but it's might have something to do with people's overall balance, and it really depends, I guess, what you're doing for a program at the time.
The reason the tests are relevant is that we're talking about strength endurance. And Bill's point was that if you're working heavy lifts, let's say squats or deadlifts, you're using your core. Well, you're not using your core just for those 5 seconds that you're doing each rep. You're using those core over about a 20-minute period. If your core fatigues, what will happen is you'll start doing the lift with poor form. So these 2-minute tests were a proxy for how well your core will be able to withstand all the work it's going to do over that period of time during your workout.
Yeah, and it's just, he really kind of put it into my eyes, some of the deficiencies I might have and some stuff that I got to work on. Definitely going to be doing some more bird dogs in the future. But moving on with the core training essentials, again, you can find that on the DVD when it comes out for the jpfitness.com. He also had a presentation on training and putting together your own training programs. And some of the things that I wanted to just point out without going too in-depth was he mentioned that for hypertrophy, failure is not necessary, which most people know. But again, I think it's something that we got to emphasize here. For strength, failure is necessary.
One of the things that he mentioned to me as far as the training and program design portion was that stress was cumulative, and he was saying that it doesn't matter what kind of stress it is, whether it's stress from your job or stress from overworking as far as your work hours go or overstudying at school or stress from overtraining. He said the body doesn't differentiate between the different types of stress, and that recovery and getting stronger is obviously very dependent on you're being able to deal with that stress. The stress has to go down again before you re-stress your body. If you're in a constant state of stress, I think most of us who read other fitness sites will understand what that means. You release too much cortisol and you're kind of in a catabolic state, a state where you're burning muscle, and that's obviously not a state that you really want to be if you're trying to be healthy and fit.
Yeah, he went into a couple important restoration methods, and the three that he went over that I thought were most important were sleep, which is an obvious. You get sleep at least 7 to 9 hours a night. and that's good sleep, not just lying down in bed. Also, limiting carbs before bed. Again, most of us know that. Just keep the carbs low for a couple hours before bed. And also, if you don't have one, if your gym doesn't have one, go out and get a foam roller. If you don't know what these are, it's basically a cylinder of foam that you can use for massaging your muscles. And for me, to be honest, it helps so much in recovery. It's unbelievable for just when my legs are dead from running too much or playing basketball. It just does magic for me.
It really is like having your own masseuse there. And that's, mm-hmm. I mean, Bill recommended it strongly. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, if you go to your local pool and you see the kids playing with the big noodles, the multicolored orange, purple, and pink noodles, these are larger and kind of stiffer and heavier versions of those noodles. And what you do is you roll around on them exactly like it sounds. You roll them on your legs, you roll on top of them, and you let them work the muscles, giving it a massage. The one thing I wanted to add on the sleep was the sleep 7 to 9 hours. He said, and this really kind of hit home with me, he said, listen, if you're not getting your full level of sleep, it doesn't matter anything else you do. Your body, you can't work around that. If you're not getting your rest, you can't work around it by eating right. You can't work around it by training differently. You can't work around it by taking supplements. All that goes out the window. Rest and sleep is the foundation for building a healthy body. And he said that's kind of base level one, and that's something that, you know, we all try to do, but frankly, I think very few people probably actually do what they want to do as far as getting enough sleep. They all say we're tired. Certainly at the retreat, I didn't get enough sleep. But that's a different story, guys.
We'll get into that later. Yeah. and it's really important. I mean, all of you out there, think about it. How many of you get, say, 8 hours of sleep every night? I'm sure it's a minority out there. I know I myself, I'm happy to get 7 or 8 hours of good sleep. And I mean, if you're not doing it, that's one thing you can hit on pretty easily. It's mostly scheduling and just get your sleep in, guys.
And he gave, I'm going to read this straight off of his slide and hopefully that'll get people primed. But what he said is this restorative sleep, restoring yourself with sleep, reduces the stress hormones, cortisol, that we know about, that is a muscle-wasting hormone. If you don't get enough sleep, what it actually does is it does certain things to your body, like it decreases your insulin sensitivity. Well, when that happens, you're more prone to gaining fat. It also causes things like hyperthyroidism and having decreased growth hormone. Well, growth hormone is good. You get it in the deepest part of your sleep. You can't get it when you nap for an hour in the day, when you catch a cat nap. You have to have deep sleep in order to get it. And that is actually where your body repairs itself from all the exercise and training that you do, and that's where you get stronger. So, I mean, I hate to kind of bang over people's heads the same message, but it was pretty clear to me that sleep was kind of the basis for everything else that you do.
So for everyone out there, turn off the podcast and go to bed.
They probably already fallen asleep.
Yeah, if we can help you out with that, I mean, just download us every week and just listen to it while you go to bed, and I'm sure we can do our best to put you to sleep at night.
We are human somnolences.
We try. We try so hard. Okay, well, going on, was there anything else you wanted to include, Kaiser?
As far as Hartman goes, no. I think I can't recommend the DVD enough. I'm sure I think everybody who was there at the summit thought that he was an amazing presenter, in that he was very accessible. He answered every single question. We got an entire notebook with his slides, places to take notes. We had access to him all weekend long. And now on the forum, for those of you who attended, and you've probably seen Bill Hartman's own section, we've got an entire thread where we can ask him questions about what we learned. And believe me, there's questions that are getting asked, you know, 5 times a day, 10 times a day. People are asking him questions about what they learned. So it certainly has piqued people's interest. I don't remember that happening in previous forums of the presenters. Not to say the presenters weren't great, but I don't remember a forum or a summit that was that engaging, where people were that engrossed in what they were learning. And especially given the complex subject matter, I know you, Kevin, are studying this stuff, but for me, I'm a layperson, and for me to be able to even marginally comprehend what he was talking about is a testament to what a great speaker he is.
it was just so much information. He was really just giving it to us straight, and he made it so easy to understand, at least in my eyes. But me personally, I'm still going to get the DVD because there's stuff I want to go over. Even with the booklet, there's stuff I want to go over and learn it again and just go as in-depth as I can, because it was just so much great information. He's like an encyclopedia without exaggerating.
Yeah, no doubt.
It was just so impressive, and he knew the answer to every question you had, and that just, he blew my mind. All I could do is just sit back and watch. And again, the last thing I wanted to go back with is the foam rollers. If you don't have a foam roller, you can also use a medicine ball. So if your gym has a medicine ball, you can also use that, and you can get similar results, and you can actually get better motion with that, especially when you're using the glutes. So just look into that, and if you have any questions, I'm sure Google has answers for you. I had to turn in early on Saturday night. Didn't really get to go to the party much because I had a flight at 6 o'clock in the morning. But on Sunday, they did have some activities for the members that showed up to the fitness summit. Kaiser, would you like to go over some of those?
Sure, yeah, we had a lot of fun. I will first preface my comments by saying that I also missed the party, or most of it. I came in a little bit later. I had to meet some other friends, people we were riding with the next day, who live in Little Rock, and so I missed the big blowout that there was a lot of posts and talk and chatter about, and I guess everybody had a good amount of fun, so I'm sorry that I missed that. Nick had more fun than should be humanly allowable, and I think it's illegal in some states, too.
Not go into that right now. Let's just go to the JP Fitness forums and read forever about it. Oh.
But yeah, we had a pretty good time. There was, I think, about 20 people who went on the hike, and Joe Jacobs, who on the forum, JP Fitness Forum, is ODB, which, by the way, stands for Outdoor Boy. Those of us who are younger think it stands for the musical artist Old Dirty Bastard, but it doesn't. Although that could be used to describe him, I guess, as well. So we went on this hike of Pinnacle Mountain, which is aptly named, I will say that. It was an awfully hard climb. I pride myself on kind of being in shape, and I do hike, but this was steep, and I was sweating by the time I got to the top. And there's also posts and pictures on the forum and the off-topic site on that. And we had a good time. Everybody made it up and down safely, and it was a good kind of bonding experience. And then from there, a lot of people had to leave to go get flights in the afternoon. But some of us were able to go. We drove to Hot Springs, which I didn't realize was the hometown of Bill Clinton, and that's the former president of fame or infamy, depending on how you look at it. And Bill Clinton wasn't with us, but we went mountain biking in a park called Cedar Glades. It's a state park. And there was 10 of us there. We had a great, great time getting outdoors. Arkansas is known as the natural state. And when you get out on the top of Pinnacle Mountain, you can kind of see from the pictures on the forum, or when we were riding on this single track that wound through this gorgeous state park, you can see why it's called the natural state. They have a lot of natural beauty. They have a lot of outdoor activity. And what we were saying is, well, the Pinnacle put the summit into the fitness summit, and the bike riding definitely put the fitness into the fitness summit, because there were a number of us who, there was one place we were on that was called Heart Attack Hill, and we pretty much felt like we were going to do that, riding uphill on that. But it was a good time. We had a lot of fun, and I want to give out props and thank yous to Joe and Lisa, who on the forum are ODB and ODB's girl, and also Sarah and Aaron, who on the forum are Silly and Bump Hater, BMPH8TER. And thank you very much. They organized that. We had some great pizza and had a pretty good time for those of us who stayed. And I know a number of people who didn't go bike riding went to the Clinton Library and actually learned something, as opposed to just beating their bodies up.
That's just unacceptable.
Well, we spent the entire weekend indoors learning, so I figured we might as well go out and actually exercise. And then it was a pretty good time. I got to teach a spin class on Friday, and I enjoyed that too. I got the incredible Lou Schuler in my spin class, which just about made me fall off my bike. I did not think he was going to join, being the anti-cardio person that he is, but he actually did, and he was polite enough to give me a comment that he enjoyed the class. So that was a big highlight for me as well.
It's good stuff. Well, just wrapping up the first episode of the FitCast, I personally have to throw out a couple thank yous to JP for first getting me to show up to the summit. He hassled me a lot over the last couple days heading up to it, almost having me drive down 24 hours to Little Rock just to get to the summit. And luckily, my parents pulled through. Another thank you to my mom for getting me some tickets at the very last second.
Yay, Mom.
Yeah, thanks, Mom. But that will pretty much wrap it up for this week's episode.
So eat well, exercise hard, and live long. Thanks, and join us next time. And that does it for the very first episode of the FitCast. I thank you for tuning in and downloading this week's episode. Keep in mind that temporary website is www.thefitcast.blogspot.com. If you can't find the website, just visit jpfitness.com and jump on the forums and go to the off-topic section. That's where all the FitCast info will be. Other than that, again, thank you for tuning in. We hope it sounded good to you, and just keep in mind it's going to get better and better. That does it for the first episode. Peace out.